following audio is a podcast from Leader Breakthrough, an organization committed to coaching and resourcing the personal development of risk-taking kingdom leaders. For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.
Welcome to the Leader Breakthrough podcast. This is Patrick.
And this is Terry. We've got a special podcast today, given the fact that we're all going through something that we've never been through before. And many of you who are listening and part of this know what I mean, but depending on the date in which you listen to, we're experiencing something globally. It's interesting with 9/11 and all of that that happened and transpired both in the United States and around the world. Most people said 9/11 changed everything, and it did. It radically changed how we do life, the world, all of that. And one of the things that happened to us was together as a world, we watched a catastrophic event occur. We even watched it live for many of us. And some of us actually had the incredible challenge to actually go through that event. Some people who are listening maybe even lost and know of friends who didn't make it through that event. But we all kind of watched it as a world and watched what transpired. I'll never forget seeing vigils in different countries on behalf of the United States and what had transpired through that terrorist attack. But, you know, it's interesting. Now we find ourselves in 2020, and we are again going through something together as a world, but it's different. The coronavirus and its implications now, as of this podcast, have now actually touched every nation, it's touched every state in the United States, and we really do have a worldwide pandemic. But the difference is now we're experiencing this all together. We're not just watching it. Globally, we're experiencing an event, and it's doing a lot of things to us. And because of that, we thought we'd do a couple podcasts just to start helping us begin to think through how we individually respond to it and even how we start thinking collectively about the implications of it. And so for this podcast, we're going to first go after the personal. You know, what happens when you hit a moment like this? And how do you recalibrate even just daily life? And so Patrick and I are going to kind of walk through a post that he put up that I thought was incredibly helpful and gave us some new ways to think about just kind of our basic day and our basic structure and the basic kind of routines and rhythm of our journey. And so Patrick is going to be kind of the main presenter today as he kind of walks us through. I'm going to help him as he walks us through what's a pretty interesting way to think about it. What are daily quarantine type of questions? I mean, all of us are at different geographic cities, locations, and everything, but most of us are now in a stay-in-place kind of situation. Most of us now are recognizing that for a season now, we've got to actually stay confined to our physical homes, environments, or whatever. So how do you do life? And what is it that kind of sets up some good rhythms in life? So I'm going to give Patrick a chance first just to talk about that for a second and some of the things he actually put down. And then we'll go into kind of some very specific questions you can ask yourself each day as you both approach it and actually counter all of the destabilization that's happened and that we find ourselves in today. So, Patrick, give us kind of a general beginning here. Talk about a little bit why you thought this was important to do, and I know you borrowed some of this information from other people. But just talk about even kind of what you call your 20-70-10 rule in terms of of how people respond in these kind of crisis moments. So take it, and I'll help you facilitate the discussion. Go for it.
Well, Terry, I'm more of a content curator than I am an original writer, and that's kind of the gift that I have, and I think about that a lot of times. And so I subscribe to several different people that come up with content. And when I find something that I feel like would be helpful for somebody else, I like sharing it. I like getting it out there.
Yeah.
And not in a way that says you need this, but I think that those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And if it works for you, great, please use this. And so as I was scrolling through a lot of content yesterday and just pouring over stuff, I found two different lists or pieces of information that I think are helpful in this moment. And one is the daily quarantine questions I mentioned, and I got that from Leonard Sweet on Twitter.
Great writer. Yep.
So it was L-E-N Sweet. And then the other one I got from a consultant and colleague and coach that I've worked with in the past named Andrew Robinson. And his website is AF Robinson. So he sent this email out on the 20-70-10 rule. But I like these because they both hit different aspects of this moment that we're in. And so I'll go over the daily quarantine questions first.
Good.
And when I read this, I felt like it was grounding because it helped in a moment of unknown, in a moment of chaos where people aren't sure what's going to happen.
Right.
They can often feel unmoored. And the routine of life is gone.
Right.
And so how do you reinstate a routine in an normal situation?
Right, uncharted territory. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have no control over what this is going to look like or even what can happen. And so the first one, this is daily quarantine questions. There are six. The first one is, what am I grateful for today? And just real quick, I'll probably spend more time on this question explaining it, why I think it's important. But gratitude, when we have an internal posture of gratitude, it changes our outlook. It changes our mood. It changes our interpretation of events that happen and gets our eyes off of ourselves. So starting with gratitude, I think, is extremely important, especially in these moments.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think overall, so it's in some sense, it's like these moments actually get us to start practicing what oftentimes should be the posture overall. So that's, I really like
that. Yeah, exactly. And there, just on the gratitude line of thinking, Stephen Dubner does another podcast called Freakonomics, and he did one on tailwinds versus headwinds. And he talked about a biker or a runner and how when we're facing headwinds, that's all that we think about in our mind. We're thinking about the difficulty that we're running into and how we're facing it. But if the wind shifts and becomes a tailwind, we ignore it. We never think about it again, even though it's pushing us along and helping us. And so he just talked about, let's dig up things that we're grateful for that aren't in the first 10 things that you name. Keep going. What else can you be grateful for? So I, you know, the digging is helpful. So number one, what am I grateful for?
Yeah.
The second one, in this moment of not being able to be next to each other is important. Who am I checking in on or connecting with today?
Good.
So I think through technology platforms, you know, phones, Zoom, Facebook, whatever the case may be, where some people haven't appreciated technology in the past and it's been difficult to know how to engage it with our culture. Right now, it enables us to stay connected.
Absolutely. So absolutely.
Let's take advantage of it.
Yeah. And that I see all over the place. I'm seeing that especially a lot with leaders. Here's an interesting thing, though. I'm seeing it. It actually connect us in new ways related to how we do life together as believers. And prayer groups are springing up all over the place using Zoom.
Yeah, it's true.
Where a lot of people would say, oh, this is depersonalized. You need to be sitting in the same room. I was with a couple leaders who actually started weeping as a result of just being together and being connected. And spending time in prayer together. Amazing, amazing stuff. So some of the stuff that we discounted is now us relying on technology to, you know, keep us together and moving together and connected in this time. So I think it's right on the money.
Well, it's interesting, Terry, when we were talking beforehand, you called it the final frontier. Yeah. And I think it does feel like that in a lot of ways. We're piercing through that. And so, and I think it's going to take away people's, the awkwardness of dealing with technology because the connection desire is so strong at this point in time.
Right, right. And the bandwidths are so big now. So the video, a lot of people, you know, saw and made fun of technology because it was glitchy. And, you know, people, all of a sudden, face became a checkerboard square or whatever and stuff. But that's not true anymore. Behind the scenes, the technology and its ability to work has been getting better and better. And so,
it even allows two people in two different states to record a podcast.
And not just two different states. I mean, I will talk, like you and I are doing, I will talk to people in Taiwan, in Beijing, in Venezuela, in South Africa. And you know what? There's no glitch. It's almost like we're sitting in the same room. So I wholeheartedly agree that ability to check in. And in fact, I'm checking in this Friday night. We're going to do a check-in with all my grandkids in their different location. We're actually going to do a talent show, and the kids are going to perform, and we're all going to actually be on Zoom together. And I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to it because I get a chance to see them, not just hear from them. I get a chance to see them.
Well, if you decide to sing the national anthem at the talent show or something like that, please record it so we could watch it.
Never will it make it beyond just the intimacy of the family. So nice try. So keep going.
Well, right. I think the final point on that is just technology and Zoom and stuff isn't going to replace being together. I think more than anything, we're going to realize how much being together in the flesh is important, even though we do have this other option.
Absolutely.
So that kind of brings us to the question three is, what expectations of normal am I letting go of today? Ooh. And there needs to be a grieving process because the old way of life and how everything has happened up until this point is gone. It's over. And if we don't let intentionally recognize those things and let them go, we won't be able to move forward in a way that's free because we're going to keep holding on to, well, let's try to get back to where we were. There's no getting back. We're moving forward.
Right, right.
So let's be aware of that, write it down, be intentional, and then move forward.
Yeah, somebody I know, there's no putting it now back into the box. In other words, it's we can never have a day where, for all of us alive now, that coronavirus didn't impact the whole world. And so it's changed. But I think that's good change strategy anyways. Giving yourself the freedom to mourn gives you the you know, it's almost like John 12, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it doesn't bear fruit. So it's that death to life principle, which is hard, difficult, challenging, but is actually what I think produces the new life. So I think that in and of itself, now we know the first two, but what expectations of normal am I letting go of today? Big question. Helpful question. Even a way to help continue to posture you for growth as we work our way through this.
Well, and even as you're checking in or connecting with others, that could be a question that you ask. How was that? You know, how are you letting go of your former normal to your new normal?
Right. Good. Yep.
So then the next two questions I'm going to pair together, not because they're not important, but they can go together. And that's number four is, how am I getting outside today? Hmm. Number five is, how am I moving my body? And there's just, you know, vitamin D, the sun is good for your body.
Right.
The endorphins created as you go exercise promote happiness and optimism and positive thinking inside of you, that it sitting inside in a dark room watching TV or scrolling through your phone, it doesn't do it for you. And so get outside, get moving, and just go for it. See what'll happen in exercise and enjoying nature.
You know, I practiced both of those yesterday, and I can't believe what was going on inside of me. I look forward to all day yesterday because I had appointments and stuff. I look forward to going out and cutting the lawn. I
Miracle.
Never look forward to going out and cutting the lawn. I am serious. I look forward to actually just, and it was interesting when I was cutting the lawn, I'm usually racing through it, you know. I was taking my time. The sun was hitting me. I wasn't locked in watching the same news rerun over and over and over again and getting more and more down or depressed or wondering. It was amazing. That's how I know it truly probably was something God wanted me to do, because I don't usually approach mowing the lawn with that much life vigor and excitement.
And the lawn and the sun are there for us regularly, but oftentimes our souls are not in a place to want that, or to appreciate it. And so that's one thing we could be grateful for, is we're in a season right now where something as simple and as free and as productive as mowing the lawn could enrich us beyond what we think we could. So
it's unreal.
That brings us to the final question of Leonard Sweet's list. What beauty am I either creating, cultivating, or inviting in today? And honestly, when I read this, Terry, it kind of put me off, because I thought, oh, what is this soft millennial list of beauty? You know, why are we? But the truth is, we are all drawn to beauty. Yeah. And we're drawn to appreciating something that is beautiful, and the creating process, the cultivating process, the inviting in. So me sharing this question list with people is a way that I'm creating beauty for people, and I'm appreciating things. I'm able to contribute in a way that gives me purpose in other people's lives. And I can look back on and be grateful for that opportunity that I had.
You know, I would actually have to agree with you even on the number six one. But my son, Kyle, has taught me so much about this idea. He loves to be a part of beauty. He's an artist. He's a graphic designer, that kind of stuff. But something happens to us. The word I'm banking off of here is cultivate or invite beauty into our life. That sense of admiring. I was even, if I go back to the lawn story real quick. I walked around the backyard even and started to notice some flowers are coming out, some stuff's happening. I walk right past that on a daily basis. But it was like I was cultivating that sense of beauty, knowing that there's a lot of hardship and sickness and stuff around me, and yet here was beauty. And I was admiring it. I was liking it. It was doing something that probably, if we hadn't talked about it in this podcast, I may have run past. It was actually warming my sense of presence and my soul to the fact that in the midst of all this hardship, there's still beauty all around us. So that's powerful.
There's a Stanford professor that I follow, and he is a coach. He actually teaches coaching at Stanford. And one of the practices that he has on Twitter is where he will make a minute long video. He lives in San Francisco, so he'll do different shots of the bay or the desert, and he'll just say, here's a minute in Sonoma Valley.
Oh, wow.
And it's just, there's nothing in particular.
Yeah.
But he's learned to cultivate and appreciate that beauty. And it's a hard thing for me to sit there and watch his video sometimes when life is happening. Yeah. But at this point, and I can go do that around my own neighborhood. And it's not the same thing as California, but it's still pretty. So the final thing I would say on this list of the quarantine questions is, if we build these habits, these could be things that we actually continue to practice regardless of quarantine, because none of these are specific necessarily and bound to being in our home.
Oh, absolutely. They're not specifically bound to quarantine.
They're not.
And yet they are, I think, unique helps in this time when everyone is actually being forced to take a Sabbath or forced to actually slow it down and work from home. I think it'd be really helpful for the listeners. Review the questions. Just say the questions one more time for us. The daily questions that could help us make it through the day. Go for it. List them off again for us.
So the first is, what am I grateful for today? Who am I checking in on or connecting with today?
That's the second one.
Second one. Three, what expectations of normal am I letting go of today? Four, how am I getting outside today? Number five, how am I moving my body today? And number six, what beauty am I either creating, cultivating, or inviting in today? And I would say, Terry, this doesn't have to be the list. So if you have a question, go for it. Make it whatever the list needs to be for you. Do it.
Absolutely. In fact, we would love it even if you sent us your questions, other questions that help you kind of cultivate life, both in the day we're in right now, but almost in the general approach to life itself. So what is the 20-70-10 rule as we kind of bring this podcast to a list? What is that about, and how does that apply to all of this?
So the list that I just went through was kind of daily things we can do. It's the personal discipline. What I liked about the 20-70-10 rule from Andrew Robinson was it was a mindset shift, and it was a determination in me of what I wanted out of the season, what I was going to let myself go to. And so he told the story of a soccer training camp when they got back from the offseason, when one of his teammates started boasting and laughing about how much fun he'd had in the offseason, all the parties, the summer escapades, and none of it involved exercise. And then he said the guy didn't laugh for very long, because as they got training, he was on the ground, he was hobbling around, he was struggling, and he wasn't the only one that hadn't prepared in the offseason for this.
Wow.
And then, so Andrew said there were those guys, they're completely out of shape. And so then there was another group of people that did the bare minimum. They were not as unprepared, but they weren't prepared, and they got through camp and they did okay. But then he said there was a small number of people in the soccer camp that actually came prepared, and they were able to focus better, and they were the top performers of the team. And so he divided it into 20-70-10. So the 20% were the ones that did not prepare at all.
Right.
And he said those are the ones that will decline. They'll groan and hobble as they try to catch up with others in the season. 70% will coast. They'll regain their game fitness, but it won't be as easy. They'll be able to get through and do the bare minimum, and they'll still want to get back to the way things were, and they'll kind of forget as we get back to normal life, we'll get back. But I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, I hope this sticks. I hope the things we're realizing and seeing now in these moments stick when we get back to normal life. And that's the 10%. 10% will thrive. They will enter the new normal in better shape than we were then and than we are now.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't just leave it at the 20-70-10 rule, but he gives you two different ways that you can thrive and the ways that you can invest in yourself. And the first is challenge yourself, and the second is support yourself.
Wow.
And so on the challenge, you know, some of that's what we talked about in the other list, where you can expand your capacity for self-awareness. Develop yourself in these moments, keep focusing on how you can make yourself better, but don't just do that. Remember that you need care, you need support. So one of his best points that I like under support yourself, his first one is limit overexposure to media, and the diet you have of consuming that media is not a healthy one. It's like eating McDonald's all the time. And in support yourself, he goes on to say, you know, connect with loved ones, move your body, eat well, structured.
Right.
Kind of the things that we had mentioned before.
Right.
But that's the 20-70-10 rule. And I want to be in the 10%, yeah. Terry. I want to put this in a way that we come out thriving and knowing that we're better because of this offseason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, if we believe that God shapes us through people, events, and watch this last one, circumstances, then there, as hard as it is, as difficult as it is, and really, you know, as in some sense lamenting that it is, that as we see sorrow around us when people fall sick or we have these circumstances, there is this opportunity to allow the potter to shape us in this circumstance and to move away from just kind of maintaining to actually deciding intentionally and willfully, I'm gonna turn this baby around, and I'm gonna start to desire to thrive in this moment and get all we can out of this moment and allow this moment to continue to be part of our formation and our shaping. And I think that could be our final message. You know, final quick thought from me was leaders in these moments are energized and managers are paralyzed. A lot of times, we may see ourselves as just kind of caretaking, but if there's something sparking inside of you as you listen both to this podcast and find yourself in this moment, it probably means, one, looking at those questions or starting to think proactively, how can I respond, is probably your next step. And the other thing could be is to actually create spaces and conversations for others to join you so that you are that mutually supportive group for one another. So that's kind of our first run at trying to think about how do we initially begin to respond to the day in which we find ourselves in, recognizing that this day is part of our journey and part of how God is using to develop us. And so this one's been focused, this podcast has been focused a little bit more on us personally, how we go after it. And so we're going to kind of call this part one. Part two will be, how do we respond to this collectively? In other words, what does a change like this mean to us who are involved in issues of leadership, involved in issues of ministry, involved in the marketplace? What are some of the initial things that begin to surface? So we invite you to join in for that podcast as we continue to better understand how God has shaped each one of us for a unique and ultimate contribution. It's good to be with you today. I'm Terry, and
I'm Patrick. Thanks for joining us on the Leader Breakthrough Podcast, where we help you get from where you are to where you need to be. And we'll see you next time on part two.
For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.